much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Are you ready? No! I said, are you ready?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hello, Johnny.
Hello, Uncle Jeff.
Why do you think I'm here?
To wish me a speedy recovery?
No. Wishes belong in the bottom of a well with unwanted girl children.
One person walked into a room when he was supposed to go this way, and he said he was going this way, and he walked in, and he went this way, and everyone said, what happened? What was that all about? Boy, oh boy. Hey, who was that? I don't know. I don't want to be controversial, so I won't use his name, okay? What a mess. But it's all happening anyway. It's all happening anyway.
You know, for a guy with a wife, you sure do talk about making love to men a lot.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
This is a new low.
Don't bogart that joint. My friend, pass it over to me.
You party pooper, buzzkill, boo!
Roll another one.
Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Just like the other one.
Big, thick.
This one seems to be about quit.
Why do you use offensive
words? And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time
Let's
to shine.
Shine. Let's shine.
Yes, we love the radio.
Roll another one.
Super big boobies.
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about
the best. Hey, what the hell's that? What's up with that?
And I don't have.
So awesome and catchy. My buddy Randy, that's his favorite song.
Oui, oui, mademoiselle.
Just pass it around.
What happened?
And don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Say white.
But just pass it on down.
And now, call Kenny Loggins, because you're in the danger zone.
Our feature presentation.
Oh my.
I don't like it.
You don't like it?
Well, look, here's the thing. First of all, I hear we need the rain.
We need
the
rain.
The first thing I hear is we need the rain. But second of all, with rain comes mudslides and evacuations and danger. And, man, if you live in, you know, Santa Barbara, Ventura, Ojai, those kinds of places, this is more than just an inconvenience in the weather. This is potentially, hey, are the roads going to be closed? Is my house going to slide down a hill? It's just awful.
Yeah,
I think we needed a little more drought to kind of let some of that land get back to where it needs to be before we had this kind of.
The weather didn't ask you?
Well, no.
Hmm.
No. I don't like it, though.
All right. We'll report that to the authorities.
And I hear people on the news and, you know, they go around door to door and they knock on doors and they go, look, we don't know what's going to happen. You could be fine. But there were people last time who thought they were going to be fine and they died in their homes. So you should leave. And there's always a few. I think they got 86% in this one area that they're really worried about. They got 86% of people who evacuated, but that means 14% of the people just said, "I'm good. I'm just gonna stay behind." And you hope they make the right call, but you can't force them to leave. I guess is that true, Allie? You can't force people to leave evacuation.
I wouldn't think so. And how can you forcibly remove someone from their home? That's a whole other
This you know, happens every single time this danger comes, is that people are just like, you know what, I'm good.
Yeah.
I think you can remove them from their home first and then due process second. I hear that.
I heard a guy say that, but that doesn't
seem like the direction we're going.
Doesn't seem like the way to go.
Anyway, fingers crossed for all of our friends and listeners throughout California who are dealing with the weather today. And I guess it's supposed to be pretty heavy at times, even in the lowlands, even like where you guys live, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be a big storm.
Big storm, yeah.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. This is Friday, March 2nd.
Allie, you love the murder shows, right?
I do.
The murder podcasts?
Yeah, my favorite murder. Dig it.
Murder books?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever thought about
being
how you
murdered?
No.
Every day.
Every day you do. I know that. Have you ever thought about, not that you ever would, I'm not suggesting that in any way, but do you ever think, I think I could pull it off. I think I'm smart enough that I could figure out a way to get away with it.
Oh, I have all the tools.
Oh,
trust
no.
me. Yeah.
Really? Because I thought that was a hard no.
No.
That's what I thought your answer would be.
I wouldn't do it.
I have all the tools.
You wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't do it unless, you know, the situation called for it.
Can you run down a list of the tools that you have?
Should we look in your trunk right now?
I didn't mean literal tools.
I don't know.
I mean up here.
Oh, I see.
In the noggin. I'm pointing at my head, people on the radio that can't see.
I bet there's acid and rope and tarp in Allie's trunk right,
right.
now. I bet all of those things are there.
A girl needs her chloroform.
Sure.
Well, here's a story that made me think of it, and I'd be curious to hear if you guys think this Brooklyn woman was on to something, and would she have gotten away with it if it hadn't been for those meddling kids? I wish. What's my number one complaint about every...
I need more information.
Yeah. I need more information.
Right.
This is a Russian woman now living in America. Her name is Victoria Nazarova. And by the way, unrelated to this story, except to speak to her character, is she did murder someone and get away with it before she moved to America. So she's got a history.
Okay.
She shows up at a lady's house in Queens, a fellow Russian, and they looked... pretty similar. If you didn't know either woman, they looked similar.
Okay, so all Russians look alike?
No, in this case, two were women of about the same coloring, about the same hair, about the same age, about the same height, about the same weight. Now, one of my questions about the story is she shows up at this lady's door offering a gift of cheesecake, but there is no background indicating that the two women knew each other. And I don't know how I can only assume that they did, but I feel like that's an important part of the story because somebody can't just knock on your door and say, hey there, have a piece of cheesecake with me.
I mean, it happens if you're neighbors sometimes.
Maybe, and who knows? Again, I'm dying to know.
Well, I had read that they both spoke Russian, so I assumed mm-hmm. they either knew each other in a group, something. I don't think she, like cold knocked on the door with cheesecake.
Look, I watch the Americans. They're yeah? they're Russian spies.
Okay.
And that's how they're passing secrets back and forth.
Through the cheesecake?
Yes.
Oh, this one took a turn.
Yeah.
Hold on to your butt, Kevin.
They are both Russian. You're right, Allie. Mm-hmm. They're both Russians who have moved to America, but I didn't see any indication that they knew each other. So that's one thing I don't know about, but it is possible that in a community in Brooklyn, all Russians kind of at least are aware of other Russians around. So maybe it wouldn't have seemed out of the blue for this person to come just make a friendly gesture. Hey, I brought you some dessert. Well, Kevin, it won't surprise you to know that what she intended was to poison and kill this woman and then steal her identity.
Wow.
That was the plan.
Wow.
So the woman ate some of the cake. She started to feel sick. She laid down. And the last thing she remembered was seeing the woman, Ms. Nazarova, sitting beside her before she passed out. The next day, the woman who's been drugged, her friend comes over and discovers her, still alive, but unconscious, in bed, wearing lingerie, with pills scattered all around her, as if she had tried to kill herself.
Oh, no.
That was the cover-up to poisoning her with cheesecake, is let's make it look like a suicide.
Okay.
So they call 911, they take her to the hospital, and lucky for her, because it could have gone bad, she survives. When she returned home, she realized that her passport, her employment authorization card, and gold rings and cash were missing. So what this lady did is she poisoned the person who looked like her, stole her identity, and hit the road. Now, Allie, mm-hmm. you're the expert here. Good plan, bad plan.
She could have got away with it if she waited to make sure she was dead.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just dress her up, put pills around her. Oh, still has a heartbeat? Don't worry, that poison will kick in. You got to make sure.
Not very thorough, right?
No.
You sound like you're speaking from
what?
Experience.
No.
Yeah. God forbid, I'm so happy it worked out this way and the lady has been arrested and will spend the rest of her life in jail, probably. If the victim had died, though, mm-hmm. I wonder if she would have gotten away with it. I wonder if she could have moved away and passed herself off as this other person with these papers. Would anyone have ever known or checked? I wonder.
If neither of them had any family,
mm-hmm.
in the United States? I would think probably. I would think she could get away with it.
Yeah, scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it makes you wonder how often something like this happens that does not bust, doesn't get revealed.
Yeah.
She was arrested and faced up to 25 years in prison if convicted. She is due in court May 25th. So beware of Russian ladies bearing cheesecake, I guess, is the takeaway from this
story.
Said
it for years.
That's a great tip.
You know, interesting about this woman, because, of course, I did a deep dive yesterday.
Of course.
Not only did she murder a woman in Russia, mm-hmm. swindled her for all her money, mm-hmm. she then got arrested. But she wound up, I don't know, using her feminine wiles to woo mm-hmm. the lead detective in the case, who
okay.
facilitated her escape.
Okay.
This woman is good at stuff.
Yeah, she is.
Real bad stuff, but she
and
is.
And real good stuff.
She is good at
and
things.
By the way, not murder-related, Allie, I know you know this, but Kevin, you'll be interested. What has she been doing since she's been in the United States is bilking men out of their money on dating websites. That's how she's been spending her time. In between murders, that's what she does.
Insane.
Wow.
So she's a prize.
Ugh, Russians, am I right?
Right. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Someone call someone!
We have a huge show today. We're going to talk to Red Gerard, snowboarding slope-style gold medalist.
Mm-hmm.
One of 65 kids, I think. I'm not positive.
Really?
I haven't done
in
the whole
his family?
Research.
Seems like a lot.
One of
65. 64 brothers and sisters?
Yes. Isn't that crazy?
Let's see if we can name them all.
I'll double check that. I'll double check it.
Okay.
I think that's right. Paul Tillett and Nick Adler from Golden Boys will be here to talk about Arroyo Seco.
Excellent.
Which was just announced yesterday. And very excited to see Jack White playing it.
Yeah. It's got a new song out today, too, by the way. That's crazy, just like everything else we've heard from this forthcoming record.
I know most of you don't care about the World Cup, but the Russian stadiums made an announcement that they're cool with cocaine and heroin and marijuana. It's all good.
For the fans or the players?
They don't say.
Okay.
I think for the fans, they're not going to – that's fine. It's good.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
You can't even bring in outside beverages in this country.
Right. Bring in your heroin. You got
to take heroin to
That's
a game?
Fine. That's fine. We're good with it. We have Doug Benson, comedian.
Does that change your mind about going to the World Cup, Kevin? Because you have so far said you weren't going because it was in Russia.
Yeah, it's so much less safe than Brazil was.
Uh-huh.
That's
right.
That's shocking.
That any place would be, you know, less safe. But
plus cheesecake, too. You
plus cheesecake, right. Doug Benson will be here. We're going to give away April Foolishness tickets with him. We have the host of the Oscars, a Mr. Jimmy Kimmel, on the program today.
Oh, no. Oh, no. That's not good. That is just not good.
And it's Friday, so we've got Keep It 100 as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
Tickets as low as $30, you guys, when they go on sale at 10 a.m. We're talking about Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness, Saturday, March 31st at the Microsoft Theater. If you want to be there, make sure to plan to buy your tickets at access.com at 10 a.m. today in the goodie bag section, which is the most expensive section that also includes the pre-show VIP party. That means you hang out with us, by the way.
I mean, you don't have to.
They should be cheaper.
You don't have to hang out. We'll be there. You don't have to hang out with us.
April Foolishness t-shirt, VIP seat, and more. You can get all the information at krock.com. But don't forget, 10 o'clock this morning, tickets go on sale, and that section does sell out fast. Hey, Allie, what's happening?
The TLC network is triggering me.
Uh-oh.
I'll tell you that right now. I'm upset.
They're the freak show network?
Well, I mean, they do a lot of good.
Mm-hmm.
However, this, I can't. So, back in January, let's think back, a month ago, what are we in, March?
This is March, early March, yeah.
They did a one-hour special, Dr. Pimple Popper, This Is Zit.
Nope.
Get it?
No.
This Is Zit.
Nope. Nope. This is
yeah.
me laughing.
Yeah. I know.
Nope.
I respect the name, but you know my feelings about these videos. If you don't know about them, it's a dermatologist, Dr. Sandra Lee. She basically pops pimples, cysts, all sorts of dermatological problems that are on your face, your back, your leg, your torso, wherever.
And I don't get it either, but people get some sort of satisfaction out of watching these.
People love these videos. I have a friend that loves these videos. We've tried to have an intervention. We don't know how to help her.
I can't watch either.
But people seem to love them. And according to TLC, the premiere performed so well that now we get to watch Lee, quote, poke, prod, and squeeze her way into a one-hour episode every week.
No.
No.
Beginning this summer, she's going to have her own show every single week on
Someone call someone.
Right?
Someone call someone and stop this.
I mean, you don't have to watch it, Allie.
I know, but it's there.
Just that it's
but
there.
But Allie lives in a world where it exists, though.
That's what
you
I'm saying.
You can't wash that off of you.
And you think that's barfing. That's just pus coming out. That's the gross.
I am very much looking forward to Allie's recap of that show every week.
You have got to be kidding.
It's going to be fun.
Oh, Kevin. Good Lord.
We had the lady on, the doctor on. She was very nice.
She was lovely.
And she really is trying to help people.
Well, yeah, she's not doing this, you know, to freak people out. And then all of a sudden was like, wait, this helps? No, it serves a purpose. These people have infections and they need to get this out of their body. I just, no.
It's a lot of fuss.
When she was on and she said, Allie, I'm going to dedicate my next video to you. And then she did. Oh, triggering. Is all
wow,
I'm saying.
Okay.
I don't love it. I don't know if I got that across. I do not love
it. I do
this.
Not love it as well.
Mm-mm. So remember when we had Daily Show correspondent Hasan Minhaj in here?
Yes.
Lovely young man. Well, not only is he not on The Daily Show anymore, he now has picked up his own weekly Netflix talk show. Netflix, yes, go ahead and clap. Netflix has ordered 32 episodes of his new show,
wow,
which will launch later this year. 32. You don't want to just give it a try? I mean,
Will there be any personalities left to go on other channels when Netflix is done?
That's what I'm saying. Good and question. Most, let's just start with The Daily Show. How many people have left to do their own shows regardless of Netflix?
Yeah, that's right.
Pretty much everyone.
Well, they find really talented people.
What's Trevor Noah doing over there? Like, he can't keep anyone around. It's kind of sad.
Well, he's got the side hustle, too, that keeps him busy.
Sure. That's probably why he's doing cable. That makes so much sense. All right. Some birthdays for you. We've got actress Rebel Wilson, singer Jon Bon Jovi, Coldplay singer Chris Martin, actor Daniel Craig, rapper Method Man, and actress Bryce Dallas Howard. And that's what's happening.
Comedian Doug Benson joins us later this morning on The Kevin Bean Show, one of the great acts playing our 10th annual Kevin Bean April Foolishness Show at the end of the month, and we'll give away some tickets while he's here. Also, Jimmy Kimmel, host of the Academy Awards, is going to be here, and the promoters who are bringing us the Arroyo Seco Music Festival. They brought us a Stagecoach and Desert Trip and Coachella. Those guys are going to be in here as well.
Arroyo Seco, by the way, is just as much about the food as it is the music.
Yeah.
Looks like a good deal.
Yeah.
Kevin, what... What were you doing when you were 17 years old?
Throwing rocks at my neighbor, Robbie Joyner.
Me too.
Weird.
Did you ever hit him? Because it was a pretty poor shot.
Yeah, I wasn't that good either. Red Gerard was, I don't know, winning a gold medal at the Olympics, being the youngest snowboarder ever to win a gold medal at the Olympics. That's what he was doing at 17. So do we have him on the phone?
Someone's talking in the other room, but I don't think he's on the phone yet, no.
Very soon. I can't imagine. I can't get my head around any kind of excellence in any sport or any kind of occupation. Just excellence in general is so foreign to me. I can't imagine what it would be like to have that have happened to you and only be 17 years old and know that for the rest of my life I'm going to walk around and I'm going to be an Olympic gold medalist.
Here's the cool thing about snowboarders, though, is that when you watch him on the top of the hill, he's not crushed under the weight of Olympic spotlight. You know what I mean? He's just high-fiving people and having fun, and his family's at the bottom of the run drinking and having a good time. I mean, it's almost like he doesn't even care that he's at the Olympics. He just loves snowboarding.
I am surprised with the interviews I heard with Red Gerard that his family even made it to the mountain because he was on his way to the mountain receiving Snapchats of his family shotgunning beers. He's like, my family's just partying here. It's a great time. So fun.
There were 18 people that went to see him, you know, in the Olympics, which is just a crazy number.
That is nuts.
All right. I believe we have him now.
Fantastic. Hey, Red. You there?
Yeah. How's it going?
It's going great. Congratulations, first of all. USA, USA. Welcome back. How has it been since you've returned from Korea?
It's been cool. You know, I've been kind of stuck on this media grind stuff, but it's been fun. Kind of been, you know, traveling all over North America and you know, getting to do some cool experiences, some cool opportunities.
We were just talking while they were getting you on the phone about how it didn't really seem like you felt much pressure. You didn't get that gold medal run until your last run, and it didn't seem like you were worried. You were high-fiving people. You were just hanging out and having a good time. It didn't seem like it was anything different than in your backyard.
Well, exactly. I think there's no need to treat it any differently than we usually do. So, I don't know. Yeah, I just try to think the same as I always do, not treat it any bigger.
And is it true that you almost missed the event because you were up late binge-watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine? I almost said Reno 911. Also a great show. But Brooklyn Nine-Nine, is that true?
I agree. Sort of. They love to say that. But, I mean, mine, I was just, you know, everyone's up watching a TV show. But I did sleep in like 5 minutes late, and I made it to the bus on time and all that. It was a lazy day just because it takes like an hour to get up to the mountain from the athlete village. So we had like a long bus ride, and we had to wake up super early.
But it's a better story if you almost missed it, because then they're going to have to give you a starring role on the show. You walk in, you're like, hey, gold medal. I'm working this angle for you, Red.
Yeah, definitely. It was a fun time. I don't know. We had a pretty good time.
One of the things that you have coming up this summer, and I'm sure people are going to want to honor you all over the country whenever they get the opportunity to, is throwing out the first pitch at a Major League Baseball game. My man Kevin has attempted that on a number of occasions.
Yeah.
Do you have any advice for Red as he gets to the on the mound to throw it out for the Indians?
I need it.
You don't need it from Kevin.
No. Yeah, I have experience in this because I bounced it both times before it got to the plate. So Red, just heave it. If it goes high, everybody's like, he's too strong. you don't want to throw it in the dirt. So make sure that you get it up high enough. That's all I would say.
All right, there we go. I need to go throw the ball around for sure. I haven't thrown a baseball in years.
Yeah.
I was like seven.
That didn't help me either.
That 60 feet is further than you thought, I guess, Kevin.
Yeah, it's a long way.
It looked like. Hey, speaking of other sports, Red, you are also a rabid skateboarder as well, right?
Yeah, I love to skateboard. I think I'm actually going to go skateboard later today. But, it's super fun. I mean, it's kind of like snowboarding. You're another board
sure.
sport.
So
it kinda
but here's my question. Now that you're Olympic gold medalist Red Girard, can you still do stuff like that, or do you have to be wrapped in some sort of protective bubble so that you don't hurt yourself out of snowboarding competition?
No, snowboarding's not like that at all. You kind of do what you want. I mean, I think you can definitely pick and choose what you're going to do. If you think you're going to get hurt doing that, you probably shouldn't. But I just kind of go for it all. I love having fun.
Now, you had 11 days off between your competitions at the Olympics. What do you do with 11 days?
Man, I wish I got to stay there. I was really looking forward to going to all the games and watching hockey games and all that. But I actually had to fly back to L.A. and then to New York and then back over to Korea. So I was kind of busy the whole time. Yeah.
That's insane.
Why are they trying to kill you?
That's what I'm saying to everyone. They're always trying to kill me, man.
That's crazy.
No, it was worth it, though. I was looking forward to getting back to the States, to be honest. I was real hungry. I could use some good food in my system, so it worked out nicely.
Is it true that your family stayed there, though? They were good where they were.
Yeah, well, I don't think anyone expected me to win a gold, so they were like, oh, well, maybe we'll have time to hang out with them in those 11 days, but they didn't.
I love that. My family didn't think I'd win.
this is the voice of a Red Girard here on the Kevin and Bean Show. In our final minutes, I have to ask, Red, have you graduated from high school yet?
I have not. No, I'm looking to do that this summer or the next summer. I'm a little behind right now. I usually try to catch up in the summer and do that because I do online school.
So you're doing a little different this summer than normal summers, I assume.
Yeah.
How many events will you participate in this year? I know you're on the Dew Tour. I mean, is it an every weekend thing or just a few? Or how busy is your 2018 as a snowboarder?
We have quite a few contests during the winter and all that. But I participate in two events, snowboard slopestyle and snowboard big air, but I'm not really a big air rider. I'm actually not the biggest fan of that event. I'm more of a slopestyle guy. I like to look at myself as that at least.
So, but do you have a lot of events this off season?
This off season, there'll probably be one, like, in the southern hemisphere, probably down in New Zealand and all that. But mostly during the summer, we just kind of, like, train. We just go snowboard and, you know, like, have fun.
Gotcha. I love hearing that that's one of the things you get to do is, I don't know, just go to New Zealand and snowboard. I mean, that's...
I know.
That's a life, Red. That is a damn life.
That's the funnest, man. Last summer, we got to go down there, and we actually got to go heli snowboarding, and we had a blast. We had such a fun crew, and yeah, it was so fun. It's my first time in a helicopter, so... That was something new to me for sure.
It's something to be in a helicopter, then being dropped from it, and then go down a mountain. Those are experiences in itself.
Yeah, definitely. It was something else, honestly. I was like, I got in the helicopter, and I was like shaking around. I felt like so uncomfortable. I was like, well, get me out of this thing. I can't be in here. But then it got cool. We were going over these crazy mountains, and then you look down so high up. It was really fun.
Sounds fun. Well, listen, Red, I know you got to go, and I know you've heard it a million times since the run, but we're so proud of you, and thank you for representing America so well, and congratulations on your gold medal, and we wish you nothing but happiness and success in the future.
I really appreciate it. Thank you for having me, guys.
You bet. Thank you, Red.
You bet.
Bye now.
Yesterday on the program, since it was the 1st of March, we debuted March Fatness.
Fat, fat, fat!
We are fat!
March Madness.
Fat, fat,
Mike,
fat.
We are fat.
Mike, was it your idea to get these boys in better shape, or how did it come about?
We all kind of were brainstorming this, you know, different ideas for the show, and this got thrown out there, and it kind of got filtered down to Muggs and Dave, mm-hmm. out of the staff, that we thought it would be interesting to follow along with people trying to compete in weight loss and. They were the only ones who were kind of like enthusiastic about idea.
They wanted to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're also the only ones who are fat.
Yeah.
There was
that. Sure.
Yeah.
There is that. I having talked to both gentlemen yesterday separately.
Now you're their trainers,
yes.
Both of them. Okay.
Yes. I offered up services to both of them. I don't know what to think of this, but Dave does not seem into it. Yet has tremendous confidence that he will win.
Oh, that's Dave.
Well,
has...
He's going up against Beer Mug, though.
Right. Yeah, but Dave has Armenian comedian level confidence.
Maybe he, or he's just more of a realist because Muggs is so outwardly enthusiastic that I almost think it's false bravado.
Oh, so he's saying,
you know,
I'm way into it and I'm ready to go.
But
and
Dave's
all that.
Like, oh, you know, I am very busy. It's going to be, I guess I'll get to it next week.
Well, it didn't sound like when we talked to him yesterday that Dave was planning on getting right to it.
Right. And I don't know if that's just him trying to be a sleeper.
Oh, no, it's Dave.
But Muggs is like, hey, I'm gonna, 5 times a week, I'm going to train, I'm going to eat nothing but chicken breast and egg whites, and I'm going to take enemas every day. And so... That level of enthusiasm makes me think that he's just going to set himself up for immediate disappointment and then kind of trail off.
Well, that's his life.
Yeah.
What you just said is his life.
It definitely made things way more intriguing for me. I think this is going to be a really interesting contest.
This is great intel for people who are planning on making a wager on this.
Right.
Because it's Muggs versus Dave, who can lose the most weight in the month of March? And then, Kevin, you want to reveal what happens at the end?
At April Foolishness, the loser has to come out dressed as Britney Spears and sing Hit Me Baby One More Time on stage.
In the outfit.
In the outfit.
And do we actually weigh them on stage at April Foolishness as well?
I don't see any reason why not. I mean, I guess we can do it backstage and reveal the winner.
I don't want to take away from the comedians too much because it's such a great night.
Right. But, I mean, that's a lot of time
on
stage.
I just want to hear a little Britney Spears, that's all.
All right. All right. Well, that's a great update. So are you getting the sense that, I mean, you see what they eat. Mike, you share an office with the boys. Are they still Taco Belling it up or what's the plan in there?
Well, this is day one of them ordering breakfast and I don't know what's going to happen yet. It's still yet to be seen. Mm. I'm excited to see. Dave will go the whole day without eating and then just go home and horse like, you know, some bimbo treats. Whereas Muggs, we're really on the precipice of finding out how committed he is. Because he will...
He has no self-discipline.
And he orders food for himself and then always finishes everybody else's.
Correct.
I mean,
he's
that guy.
He's
that is
very
true.
Helpful.
He's a scavenger.
So we'll see how that goes in about a half hour when you guys go out for breakfast.
All right, perfect. Well, listen, Mike, I'm glad you're here because you can help me with this dilemma that I'm having, too. First question. Do you ever tell your significant other about your dreams?
Yes.
Yeah.
How about you, Kevin?
It depends on the dream.
Are you responsible if your dream includes bad behavior or good behavior with somebody who is not your significant other?
Are you responsible for it?
Yes. In other words,
no.
Yeah, no way.
Is she allowed to be mad at you about something that you dream?
See, this is why you have to pick and choose what dreams you tell.
Yeah, you don't tell her, oh, I was boning this chick last night. Woo, what
she
a dream.
She was so much better than you.
No one needs to hear that.
Okay.
I have a feeling that's what you did.
I don't know. I mean, because I get it. I'm on the receiving end of that sometimes.
Sure.
So I feel like it's in your brain. You can't really control it. I mean, I dream about doing horrible things that aren't sexual. It doesn't – it's not like it reflects –
it doesn't mean you're actually doing that.
Right. It doesn't reflect what I really want to do in real life.
Why do you ask?
I can see some partners considering it sleep cheating, though. You know what I mean?
There's no such thing as sleep cheating.
You're just making that up.
I'm not making
it up.
There's no sleep cheating. There are people who actually will get mad. Look, my wife has been mad at me for things that I have said in my sleep. Things that – when I have spoken out loud while sleeping, she's been mad at me.
Yeah, when you said, oh, yeah, Veronica, yeah. Of course she's angry.
The only sleep cheating is sleepwalking into another woman's room and banging her. That's sleep cheating.
All right. So that's your ruling on the marital bed.
Yes.
Now, here's the real question. How about if you have a sex dream about somebody you work with?
Did you have another dream about me, Bean?
How about that? Is that something you keep to yourself, or is it, hey, it's obvious we have a 100% completely platonic relationship.
Oh, please,
so
be
there's
Chip.
No,
there's, please be
I,
Chip.
And the reason I ask this question is, we live in an era now where even a conversation about something sexual,
love of God, be Chip.
Stand by, Allie, even a conversation about something sexual now can be perceived as sexual harassment. How many of these guys in the news have we seen part of the complaint is, he was always talking about porn or showing me pictures on his phone or whatever it was. These days, you even talk about sex sometimes and you get in trouble with a coworker.
Please tell me I was on top.
So what's the ruling on, like, is it inappropriate to say to a coworker in your office, hey, I know this is crazy, but we were rabbits last night.
That's inappropriate.
Yes.
And that's me talking.
What? What's inappropriate?
It's inappropriate.
I don't think it's inappropriate to say,
for anyone else.
It was crazy. You were in my dream last night. To get descriptive about what that is, I do think that might cross some line.
Leave it at you were in my dream last night.
Allie's speaking out of fear, though.
God.
So wait. So, Allie, if somebody, Mike, has a sex dream about you, would you be offended if he told you about it?
If he said, I had a dream about you? Absolutely
not.
No,
a sex dream. If he said, I had a sex dream, you and me, last night, would that offend you? Is that inappropriate workplace conversation?
First of all, you're asking me who's not offended by anything.
Right.
So I'm not the one to ask, first of all.
Is there a difference between Mike and Bean?
Absolutely. If Mike says it, I'm going to ask for some details. If Bean says it, I am taking my earphones out and I am having a Silkwood freaking shower.
So I guess you guys will never know then.
Now we need to know.
Well, the advice I was just giving.
Right. Wait.
That was for you personally. This is your radio show, so we need to know.
It's Omar, isn't it?
And the advice you were just given was for off air.
Right.
I think the game has changed when you're talking about,
correct,
you know, what you do for a living really skews the scale.
All right, so it has to be Chip, Allie, or Christine, right?
Does it?
I guess. Why?
It doesn't have to be.
It doesn't have to be.
I hate to, you know, just volunteer this up, but I've had gay sex dreams.
Okay. Bean?
Mm-hmm. And look, you're not, again,
guy or girl.
You're not in control of
your
dreams.
We're giving you that. You are correct.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
But you guys have just told me that it is inappropriate in the workplace to say to somebody, hey, I had a sex dream about you last night.
That's because you're saying it to them one-on-one,
right,
and it's all weird. We're on the air. This is a safe zone, Bean. But, no one will judge.
But that person may or may not still be listening, though. And let me also say this. Is it worth it to, if it is in some way is going to affect the relationship going forward? Like, this person may now think differently about me, or now may not want to hang out with me or whatever because I've
had a sex
dream.
Already doesn't want to hang out with you. Guy or girl?
I don't think I should say.
Guy or girl?
I feel like I should.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing, Bean.
I'm not
being a tease. If you don't say, we all feel gross. Just let one of us feel gross.
Yeah, I can't say.
Yes, you can.
I can't say.
Yes, you can.
Dean, go ahead.
Don't be such a big tease.
Go ahead.
I'm not
chip.
Being a tease. This is, why I, spent, this is why I spent all the time to ask first.
All right,
was because I didn't want to do the wrong thing.
Chip, Alley, Christine, me, Dave, Mike, Dave. Dave, Omar.
Ruben.
Ruben. Was it Omar?
I have bad news, Chip.
Really sorry.
I'm really sorry to tell you.
Oh, Ellie's so happy.
I'm really, really sorry to tell you.
I
know.
I
am sorry.
I hate it here.
Wait, wait, wait.
I apologize.
Wait, how was it?
I mean,
was it awesome?
It was awesome, first of all. But, Chip, if it makes you feel any better, you were only receiving, not giving.
Did you say if that makes it better?
This is the everybody. Best day of my life. I'm not lying. Hey!
That's her from Bean's Dream. 106.7 K-Rock is K-Rock. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
Hema Linares is how I'm guessing Hema says her name, from West Covina. Won two passes to see AWOL Nation at the HD Radio Sound Space next week. We got more tickets you can win on this morning's program. Speaking of tickets, 10 a.m., a little over 3 hours from right now, they go on sale at Axis.com. It's Kevin and Bean's 10th annual April Foolishness. We don't mention this enough, but a portion of your ticket sale will benefit some great charities, the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund and Cedars-Sinai NICU, who do outstanding work here in Southern California. 10 o'clock this morning, join us March 31st at the Microsoft Theater. You can buy your tickets to see Fluffy and Adam Devine and Brad Williams and Brian Callen, Doug Benson, Jeff Garland, Sarah Tiana, and music and video by DJ Mike Rome. It's a great night.
All of those people are doing it for free as well, so that all the money can go to charity. So that's awesome.
Absolutely awesome. Plus, either Dave or Beer Mug dressed up like Britney Spears singing Hit Me Baby One More Time.
Correct.
What else do you need, right? And it's an Armenian comedian free zone.
So
that's
far.
Another important thing to mention.
As far as you know.
6:55. Allie, what's happening?
Well, what's happening is Jack White dropped another new song yesterday that will be on his upcoming album, Boarding House Reach. Not sure if you guys heard it, but he has previously discussed this song in an interview, saying that he tried to record it multiple times, once with White Stripes and then again with a collaborative project with Jay-Z, and it just never really worked out. But he recorded it, it's out, and it is called Over and Over and Over. This is a fame dreamer.
What the hell?
Jack White, you are so freaking weird, and I love you so much.
That's awesome.
It's like a rock opera.
There are so many artists that try to be that genius, and he just is.
He's amazing, and I love him so very much. Boarding House Reach is due out March 23rd, and his tour kicks off next month. And remember when we had him on a couple weeks ago, and I was like, Jack, I notice a certain city and a certain area that is not included on your list of cities.
She was talking about Los Angeles.
You're going to be going to. I was talking about Los Angeles.
Right.
And I was mad. And he said, well, we'll see. Well, we now know why. Because the Arroyo Seco lineup has been released. We found out yesterday that Jack White is one of the many great talents, yes, that will be there. Arroyo Seco weekend, Saturday, June 23rd, Sunday, June 24th. Here are some of the people on the bill. On Saturday, Neil Young, Jack White, Pretenders, Bell and Sebastian, The Specials.
Dude.
And one of my favorite bands that a lot of people may not know about, but trust me, so good. Hooray for the Riff Raff! I'm so excited. That was one of my albums of the year last year. And so happy. And then on Sunday, June 24th, Kings of Leon, Robert Plant, Gary Clark, Mother Effin Jr.
Yeah,
are you sure it's him?
Oh, I'm positive it's him. I swear to God it's him. Alanis Morissette, Violent Femmes, Capital Cities, The Bangles. Are you kidding me? This looks amazing. Tickets on sale for that next Friday at 10 a.m. And of course, we're going to have the dude responsible for it coming in. In the next hour.
Paul Tillett and Nick Adler.
Well, Paul's responsible for, you know, the Coachellas, the just going to say Desert Storm. He was Desert in charge of all of them out there on the front lines. Desert Trip, Stagecoach.
Yep.
Then Nick got in on it, I don't know, a few years ago because he knows food like no other. And the food at those events has just come such a long way.
He really has.
I cannot wait to chat with them about it.
Why is he not fat, by the way?
Nick, because he's a vegan and very healthy.
There you go. All right.
That's a little Nick Adler update for everybody listening. That was weird. Do you guys remember the Oscars last year? It was kind of the biggest moment when Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway came out to give the award for Best Picture.
I mean, that was a great moment.
That was worth the 8 hours of watching the Oscars just for that. In case you missed it, Faye Dunaway opened the envelope, announced La La Land as the winner. La La Land comes out. Then the producer of the movie realizes, oh, we didn't win. Oh, no, it's Moonlight. And he says on the stage, he's like, you guys, we didn't win. We didn't win. Moonlight, this is yours. And then they come up.
And then he said,
just,
this is real, by the way. I'm not making this up.
It seemed like a Jimmy Kimmel prank.
Yeah.
100%. Well, the Academy feels the best way to make sure that the proper people accept the award for Best Picture this year on Sunday is to bring back the ones that screwed it up.
What?
Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway are going to be doing the honors again. They were spotted yesterday rehearsing, so that's going to be funny. I hope they screw it up again, right?
America.
I love it.
Right? Redemption. This is sweet redemption for them.
I'm sure that they have redesigned the card since last year so that it is no longer possible to be confused by which movie is actually the
winner. Yeah, I assume this is the safest year ever.
Yeah. And remember they had all new guidelines for the guy that gives them the card. He's no longer allowed to be a fanboy taking selfies with people backstage anymore. He has to
concentrate. My favorite, and we'll talk to Jimmy Kimmel, host of the Academy Awards, in about an hour. My favorite is the guy who has memorized all of the winners, who's going to be sitting in the control booth so that they can make a correction faster because he knows before the envelope is opened who the winner is.
And that guy is Kevin Ryder.
Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be amazing if we went to Kevin to verify, did that one really win? And you'd be like,
And the winner is Get Out. They look at me, I go, I'll allow it.
Oh, I love it so much. Some birthdays for you. We've got Rebel Wilson, Jon Bon Jovi, Chris Martin, Daniel Craig, Method Man, or as Bean likes to say, M-E-T-H-O-D.
Man.
Thank you, Chip. God damn it, Bean. And Bryce Dallas Howard. That's what's happening.
When Paul Tillett, the founder of Golden Voice, and Nick Adler, the festival director, come in, we can ask them, why are Foo Fighters not on all the festivals?
Yeah, I mean, I assume Foo Fighters can't do all the festivals.
I insist.
Okay.
They make every festival better.
Okay.
And who had to make the call to invite Third Eye Blind? That's another question I'm going to ask about the Sorio Cinco announcement.
You.
That's all coming up here on K-Rock. Jimmy Kimmel at 8 a.m. Doug Benson joins us next hour as well. And we'll be, the same time he's in here, we'll be giving away tickets to see him on stage at the 10th annual Kevin and Bean April Foolishness. Don't forget, tickets go on sale this morning, 10 a.m. Access.com.
I was lucky enough to get to go to Brazil for the World Cup 4 years ago. And we were talking, the same group of guys were talking about going this year to Russia. And it was determined that Russia is too unsafe. Brazil was fine. Russia, we're not doing.
Brazil seems like a dangerous country on the face of it.
Right.
I have to ask, when you make these travel decisions, does the fact that you are traveling with a little person weigh in? Do you think, I mean, how would Brad be received in Russia? Is he some sort of god over
there?
Dude,
he's a conquering hero everywhere he goes.
Is he? Okay.
I'm not kidding. People love him. That was not part of it, but they just said literally it's not safe. And now there's a report coming out that Russian stadiums are fine with and will allow, as long as you have a doctor's note, cocaine, codeine, morphine, amphetamines, and weed. They're good with all of it.
Is there such thing as a doctor's note for cocaine?
I mean,
does anyone have
there,
a doctor's note for cocaine?
I mean, it must be there because that's what they're saying. That's the rule. They'll check you, and if you've got the cocaine or heroin or whatever, as long as you produce a doctor's note, that guard is supposed to be able to tell whether it's real or not, and they let you in. They're good with it. It's all good.
you can't bring a bottle of water into the Rose Bowl.
It's all good.
Right, exactly. But then you've got heroin. You're like, oh, no, Doc McStuffins wrote this out. Like, what is happening?
What is that noise? More importantly, what's happening on the air right now?
Could not help but hear you're talking about Russian World Cup.
Oh, yes. Who is this?
My name is Boris Milosevic, Eurasian Minister of Sport. I'm in Moscow right now.
Oh, we did not bring you up on the phone. We do not have an interview scheduled.
Sure.
Okay. How did you get through, Boris?
Well, maybe let's just say I have software that monitor all American media.
Oh, I see.
Talk about Russian World Cup. Okay. I chime in.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, we weren't saying anything even negative. We were just reporting the facts that those drugs are allowed in stadiums at World Cup play this summer.
Sure.
Oh.
You can't be too safe, though. I must monitor all American media just to make sure things are on, as you say, the up and up.
Was that a gunshot?
Sure.
Okay. You're just firing off into the air?
We're having scrimmage here, and some players aren't exactly up to snuff, as you say.
Oh. Well, I don't know that shooting at them, I mean, I guess it would make them run faster, but I'm not sure it's going to make them play any better.
Oh, that is not uncommon for Americans to feel that way.
Oh,
but
okay.
You're also weak and spineless.
I see. Okay, were we accurate when we said cocaine, codeine, morphine, amphetamines, and cannabis?
Absolutely. All welcome at Russian 2018 World Cup.
Okay.
Also welcome here in stadiums for Russian 2018 World Cup, weapons-grade plutonium, syringes with any liquid inside.
Oh!
Phosphorus grenade.
Wow.
All forms of anabolic steroids. Jared Leto, but only if he's dressed as Jordan Catalano from My So-Called Life. Oh, my gosh.
Right?
Am I right?
That's really specific.
You are right, Boris.
You actually are right, yes.
Battle axes, butt plugs of any size. What? All things welcome at 2018 Russian World Cup.
You don't think some of these items might cause trouble?
No, but there are plenty of items that will cause trouble in 2018 Russian World Cup. They are not allowed.
Not allowed
at Russian World Cup. Weakness. Not allowed at any type of event at 2018 Russian World Cup. Literature or books of any kind.
Oh.
Women oversized too.
Oversized too?
What?
That's right. What good is a woman if she can't be ballerina or gymnast?
Or Boris.
Prostitute.
Oh, Boris.
Also not allowed gummy bears.
Why?
Gummy bears? Well, why gummy bears?
That's a whack candy, yo.
Hey, Paul Tillett and Nick Adler. How are you guys?
We're doing great.
We're doing good. Talking about summertime in L.A. rain, so.
Yeah.
That is
no
kidding.
You guys are the Golden Voice, the festival people who bring us so many hours of entertainment throughout the year with all your many ventures. Are there any weekends where there aren't festivals in America anymore?
Paul? I'm sure somewhere.
Tell me where. I'd like to head there now.
I mean, it's unbelievable. I feel like that there was a time where there was just Lollapalooza and Coachella, and that's all there was.
Yeah, there's a time it's just Lollapalooza, yeah.
Yeah, true. Yeah. And now doesn't it seem like every weekend you read about some other festival that's happening with a pretty big and a pretty impressive lineup?
Well, there's a lot of different niches now. That's what's happening across the country. There's just different little bends. So we're always looking for little angles.
And does that make it more and more competitive for you guys to do what you do?
I don't know if it's competitive as much as you get to have more creativity.
Interesting. So you can make different festivals different depending on...
Yeah, depending on the market or just the type of people you want to go, you know, the demographic, as I say.
I've told you this before. Coachella, my favorite weekend of the year.
Oh, me
it's
too.
It's the best weekend of the year.
I love it.
Until Arroyo Seco.
Yeah. Until next. Until Stagecoach.
And then Stagecoach.
Right.
And then I head to the Jazz Fest. Yeah, all sorts of stuff. Have you seen just this ebb and flow and people's musical taste changing and maybe the younger crowd getting more into, like, say, EDM? Coachella has so much of that now that there's a change.
Yeah, I mean, we're 19 years into Coachella, so, like, things have changed in music. It always does. 20
yeah.
years after Woodstock was a completely different thing, you know. So, yeah, it's super fun to watch the evolution of people and music.
And you're on top of it. You're talking to kids during the festival, like, what else are you into?
Yeah, we're trying to, you know, see what people like.
What year was the tipping point where you were just afraid it wasn't going to work, and then all of a sudden now you know it's a thing probably, that can sustain itself?
Probably 3 years into Coachella, we didn't know if it was going to work. And then Radiohead, Pixies, Kraftwerk just changed everything for us.
Mm. And then the next year was much easier, and now and now people buy tickets. They don't even know who's on the bill.
But you have to deliver for them.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little harder, actually, after they buy the ticket, because they have a fantasy of who they want to see.
Oh, that's right. True. Yeah, everybody's got their favorites, and if they're not there, then they get upset. I can see that.
We always say that, you know, the first Lollapalooza in 91 was 7 bands. And I remember telling all my friends, they have everybody. And it's like, 7 bands. Now we have 150, and there's people like, ah, whatever.
Isn't that funny? And, of course, it all matters where those bands are in order of font on the poster, right?
Yeah, that's
people
true, right?
People get real serious about that.
Yeah, it's a fun sport.
It's a fun sport.
It can't be. It's got to drive you bonkers with social media, how insane people are.
He loves it.
Don't bands contact you and go, look, we're going to tour and we need to tell them what line of the poster we're on. Isn't that a way they use?
You know, I think that sort of stuff isn't important, but some people do.
Yeah.
Paul's like, change the topic, you guys.
I'll bet they're annoyed that you don't care.
I bet. Well, listen, we have many general questions and actually some specific ones about festivals that y'all have put on. But let's take care of some business, because yesterday was a big announcement about the second annual Arroyo Seco. Now, give me the story again. I understand it. This is an idea that was hatched over a beer out by the Rose Bowl?
Like all good ideas.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I ended up inviting Paul to tailgating at a UCLA homecoming game, and We were out there on the Brookside Golf Course. It's got these huge shady oak trees. You actually forget really quick that you're on a golf course. And I think we were both looking down and kind of looked up together and were hatching these plans separately and looked at each other and said, hey, you know, can they park cars on here? Do you think we could put a stage and 20, 30,000 people? And
that's so funny, because all I've ever seen of that golf course is cars. I've only seen it as a parking lot, and it's a beautiful, beautiful area.
Yeah, it lends itself perfectly. It's just got these rolling hills, and then you got the hills coming out on both sides, and then obviously the Rose Bowl. So, you know, one of the big things when doing festivals, can it hold the people? Can all these people get into this place? Can they get out? And then knowing that the Rose Bowl does 80 to 100,000 people, we had some confidence that, you know, the infrastructure was there to actually handle something.
What about
like this.
The neighbors, the neighborhood? They seem to be very protective of the sound.
They are. We had some complaints last year. Pretty much was, can you turn it up?
Turn it up.
I need Tom Petty.
I love it.
Yeah.
We can't quite hear it.
No, we went in with you know, I think they had different expectations. And then by the end of the festival, one person literally called in to the hotline and said, is it possible if you could turn it up?
That's awesome.
That's hilarious. And the best thing about this festival is, sure, you've got the Coachella, you've got the Stagecoach. Those are amazing weekends in itself. But this is in our backyard. We can go to this all day, have a great time, go home, take a shower, take a nice little nap, and then head back out the next day. It's perfect. Why'd it take so long, you guys? What have you been doing?
You know, it is true. We've talked to people who were texting us saying, I'm at home watching Saturday Night Live already, you know, after the show.
That's like, weird,
They've already driven home, in bed, watching TV.
Yeah. It's a perfect day.
Yeah.
You guys have been doing this for so long. Maybe this is a dumb question, but are you starstruck at all anymore? I mean, you are walking with giants when you have, you know, Robert Plant, and Neil Young, and Chrissy Hynde, and those types of people around.
Yeah, I mean, just Kevin and Bean, that's the only people. All goes downhill from
there.
We're
not buying that, Paul.
That's just sad. Yeah. You had to, at Desert Trip, you had to be looking around like, what is happening?
For sure, we were in awe there.
Yeah.
It was just, it's just a whole nother level. You know, if someone's been around 50 years, changed everything you listen to.
Yeah,
we had a guest in yesterday, the comedian Dana Gould, and we were talking about his encounters with Paul McCartney over the years, and we were saying how there's no place that Paul McCartney goes that people don't fall down because they're so in awe of being in the presence of Paul McCartney. And I guess that's probably what it's like for you on a weekend like that, is you just can't even believe you're lucky enough to be in the same space.
Yeah, it's just fun watching all those people. It's just the, you know, fortunate life.
Yeah, no
for,
kidding.
You know, for all of us, like, just to get to be around those people, it's like it's great.
The tickets for Arroyo Seco just announced yesterday. You can get all the details at KROQ.com. They go on sale to the public next Friday. Do I have that right?
That is correct.
a week from today, but there you do have the American Express pre-sale on the Wednesday. You should definitely get the information on that. And it's an unbelievable weekend of music and food. And we're going to talk some more about that when we return, by the way. And Neil Young and Jack White and the Pretenders and Belle and Sebastian and the Kings of Leon and Robert Plant and Gary Clark Jr. and Alanis Morissette and so, so much more. And we have a lot of questions for our guests. We'll return right after this on K-Rock. Our guests in studio here on the Kevin Beach are Paul Tillett, founder of Golden Voice, and Nick Adler, festival director of so many hours of entertainment that we've had over the years with all their very many festivals. By the way, host of the Academy Awards, Jimmy Kimmel, coming up in about 20 minutes or so here on K-Rock. Hey, Nick, I'm going to ask you to repeat something for the listeners that you were kind of telling us during the break there about how people festival when they go to Arroyo Seco and how it's a little bit different than some of the other places they go.
Yeah, I think, again, I would go back to the Arroyos. And so, real quick, Arroyo Seco, that's actually the area of L.A., Pasadena, that goes from, like, the Rose Bowl down the ravine there. I think it means dry river. And so that area behind the Rose Bowl is just so beautiful and kind of lends itself to just take a minute and just be a little more passive and, you know, instead of running from stage to stage, Paul's made sure with the timing that you don't have to do that. You can go from one stage, you can grab some food, whatever, hang out with your friends, and then go to the next stage. But also, you don't have to be right in front of the stage with these bands. They're also great with a group of friends kind of under that you know, willow tree. You know, it's just a different way to do it. I grew up going to Coachella, being so wiped out when I got home. I think at Arroyo you can do a little more, move a little bit slower.
Talk about the food there.
Yeah.
That's kind of your specialty, right?
Yeah, we've been able to move some food into all of our festivals. And when we were looking to do Arroyo, we just felt like this, we're never going to be as big as, there's no food right now as big as Neil Young. But, there just isn't. But, you know, putting together a good food program, John and Vinny, the Voltaggio brothers, Bruce Kalman, just going in L.A. is unbelievable with food right now. Anywhere you look, you can get kind of cheap eats. You can have a really nice experience. So we thought we need to add that into the festival. We need all those. We need that quick bite. We need that take a long time and sit with your friends and hang out.
And you got over 20 restaurants at the festival, right?
Yeah, it was important to not just have one or two and then a bunch of pizza and burgers. You know, it needed to be, when you're in there and you're looking around, that you see, you know, festivals are about discovery. And whether that's seeing a band that you've been wanting to see forever or the first time, same thing goes with food. And that's where we are kind of in L.A. culture right now. It's like you got your go-tos, but you're also going to go out and find that restaurant you haven't seen. And we try to bring those to the festival, so it kind of makes it an all-inclusive experience.
What year did you take over the food for Coachella?
Five years ago.
5 years ago.
Yeah. It actually happened in that same beer conversation.
That's quite a conversation you guys had.
Did you go to the game at all?
We did not.
Are you serious?
We actually got lost and no cell phone. It was a really bad night.
Yeah. Jeez. But I think we worked out all the logistics of how to get down and out of the bowl in that one.
That's amazing. Time. Hey, we've mentioned several of the bands. I mean, there's too many to read them all, but we mentioned a lot of the big names. I wanted to ask you about a couple of the smaller font names at Arroyo Seco, and I'm sure everybody is asking you about. Jeff Goldblum is doing what that weekend?
Yeah, well, he played last year, and it was just so incredible, just out of the blue how fun that was. It was just such... It encapsulated everything we wanted from
Does he sing or is it spoken word?
Yeah, I don't know what he...
He's a performer, I would say. And so he's singing, he's talking to the crowd, he's doing his Jeff Goldblum body moves. We're just, like, loving it.
He's just being all Jeff Goldblum-y.
Exactly. And so when Paul was putting it together, we're like, of course we have to bring Jeff Goldblum back. So he's almost like a... He's kind of like I don't want to say mascot because he's definitely not that, right. But he's a little bit of a face for us on Arroyo, so we're really excited.
That was an easy phone call to make to him?
You know, yeah, they had fun. So it's like when we call, they're like, wow, that was actually a fun show. We'll do it again.
Jeff Goldblum and the Mildred Snitzer Orchestra, ladies and gentlemen, is who's on the bill, which is awesome. And the other one I wanted to ask you about is, you know, obviously, if it's a secret and you can't say, I respect that. But what will the Revolution be doing?
Prince and the Revolution songs. And it played the Will Turn recently, and it was really great.
Excellent.
And do they have do they bring somebody in to sing, or they're singing from within the existing band members?
Within existing band members.
Gotcha.
They have a woman that sings. Yeah, so
yeah.
She's still
exactly.
I saw Prince and the Revolution together, and they were an amazing band, and she had an amazing voice. So they'll probably handle that quite well.
I think it's pretty great for festivals. You can walk over and there's songs you know.
Sure, of course. I know that just from working here at K-Rock all these years, how many months in advance we have to get working. Not we, but the people, you know, at the top.
People
have
to do the work.
Right, Acoustic Christmas and Weenie Rose. It's got to be a year. I mean, there can't ever be a day off for you. The day after one of these festivals ends, I assume you kind of have to start at least thinking about the next year, right?
Yeah, we're always thinking. I'm already looking at Arroyo Seco next year. Some people have called.
Is that right?
It's just how it is. It's like it didn't used to be that way, but now that's how it is.
Is it impossible for either of you to take a vacation and actually turn things off?
Yes.
It is impossible.
Nick's very quick with that, yeah.
I'm always on vacation.
Paul, how was the day? Walk us through, if you wouldn't mind, when you get the phone call from Beyonce, who says, too pregnant to perform, can't do Coachella, sorry.
Yeah, that was a first. Twins canceling a show. Yeah. That was just out of the blue, you know. that's life. So that, you know.
Yeah, but as the guy running the festival.
And you know a lot of people have bought tickets to see Beyonce.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say this. She was so great and so nice about it and said, I'll postpone next year. You tell me. Is there anything I can do? I'll make an announcement. I'm going to put on an even better show now. She was just...
Did she call you personally?
No, because I don't talk to her personally. I don't want mm-hmm. to get mad, you know? Just kidding. But I love their team. It's just really nice to me.
Yeah.
Well, so. Things are good when you then say, oh, we're really sorry Beyonce can't make it. She's, you know, having two humans come out of her. But how about Lady Gaga? Like, are you kidding me with
right.
that?
Right. I mean, luckily, like, Beyonce has a lot of friends.
Yeah.
So, like, that she helped. You know, so it was like, you know, Beyonce and Lady Gaga spoke, so it just made it all mellow.
I got to tell you, that is one of the beautiful things about these festivals. You were saying Discovery, and I'm not a huge Lady Gaga fan, but she was great.
Yeah, she really brought
She
it.
Really
yeah.
put on yeah. a great show, and the stage show was fantastic.
It's hard to step into Beyonce's slot.
Right?
Like, I don't know if I, you know, if I was an artist, if I could, you know,
no way.
Even mentally
if you'd even
try
want
that.
To.
Yeah,
right,
and
exactly.
she really nailed it.
In our remaining moments, guys, and we're so grateful for you guys to come in, and I want to remind everybody again, Arroyo Seco tickets go on sale to the public next Friday, 10 a.m. All the details at krock.com. You definitely don't want to miss this. Are you surprised at how successful Stagecoach has become? Was there a real question mark over putting on a country music festival?
Yeah, because this traditionally has not been a country market, you know, throughout the years. It's like, you know, we're on the West Coast, you know, mm-hmm. that's not really country necessarily, but it's actually the largest country music festival out there. And it's just little by little, you know, just plugged away at it.
Was it successful the first year?
No, I think the first 4 years it wasn't successful. Just had to stick at that one.
Wow. How about that? Really?
I don't book that anymore. Stacy books that in the office. Last mm-hmm. 4 years, maybe. I call it Stace Coach. Now.
If I'm you, I don't do anything.
Yeah.
I'm
trying to push it
I
all
bring
off.
In Nick and I let him do stuff.
This is really fun Stacey. Over here, booking this.
Paul's
try
like,
it.
I didn't even want to come today.
who are, if there are any white whales out there, artists you've always wanted to get on one of the festivals but have not been able to land yet and you're still hoping for?
You know, I mean, people know the Smiths. It's just, if I could ever get the Smiths, that would just be,
yeah.
if I could retire.
Good luck. Yeah. I mean, you could get him. He may not show up. That happened to us in December. It was fun.
Did you hear about that, Paul? He canceled
it. Oh, yeah.
It was cute.
Yeah, it was cute.
But I made $400 off of it.
Yeah.
I had my money on the right horse.
I mean, we were watching him drop out of festivals leading up to it, so you kind of get a heads up.
But I'll tell
coming.
You, when you do get him, you get a gem.
Yeah.
It's worth the
it's
wait.
True.
All right. So fingers crossed you're still working on it maybe next year, right?
Start the rumor now.
Okay, I like it. Any final words you want to say about Arroyo Seco before we let you go?
Yeah, I mean, just bring your kids if you want. It's like it's family friendly.
Yeah, it's multi-generational. It kind of makes sense to everyone. You know, you're watching your band, your kids are running around. We got a cool gig with Kid Space down there, and they have a huge activation. So you you kind of, I don't want to say you check your kids in, but but I did. But
they may still be there from last year.
Oh, I got to check. But there's some cool things. It's not just music and food. We have a festival librarian. We got great art.
Did you say you have a festival librarian?
Happened? I was trying to get that in there right before.
Yeah.
Elaborate,
please.
We have a cool thing with Vroman's, which is just a quintessential Pasadena bookstore, even L.A. And we went to them, and we have these little libraries. And have you seen those in your neighborhood, kind of take one, leave one?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Things?
Yeah.
And so we thought, what a great – in Pasadena, reading the book is very important in our kind of research. And so there are these little libraries throughout the festival grounds, and all the books in there are about Pasadena architecture, authors, whatever it might be. And
Caltech.
Yeah, Caltech. We worked with Vroman's, and
Our policy on this show is that reading is for losers, but if somebody wants to read at Arroyo Seco, I guess they can.
Reading is fundamental.
That's what we meant. Reading is fundamental.
Oh, did we say losers? Paul, Nick, congratulations on all your success. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing your time with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate it. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
Hey, were we supposed to give out the details on where the Kevin and Bean van is? Is that something we should have mentioned?
Yes, we were.
Because we have been kind of busy, but I think the van... Let's check with Dave before we say it on the air. Is it still at the place?
Yes, it is.
Here we go. The Kevin and Bean... Why don't you describe the Kevin and Bean van for folks, Kevin?
Well, I mean, it was the van for The Sound, the radio station The Sound 100.3, but they are no longer a radio station. Mm-hmm. They are a radio station, but they change formats, and it's a religious radio station. But there was a van in the parking lot for The Sound. Mm-hmm. Our station used to own it, or our company used to own it, and then they sold it, and the van's just sitting there. So I took some spray paint and made it a Kevin and Bean van.
You took it upon yourself to deface it and claim it as their own.
Make it beautiful, I think, rather than
deface. Make it beautiful
is
what I meant to say, yes.
Right.
And people have been loving your handiwork, hashtag KevDog. And if you want to get your photo taken with the Kevin and Bean van while we've got it, you can. It is in Montebello right now.
Nice.
The shop's at Montebello, right out in front of the H&M at Montebello Town Center. That is where it is. The Kevin and Bean van is there. And by the way, not only do you go by and get to meet the van, which sounds silly, but I'm telling you, people are loving getting their picture taken with your work, Kevin.
You don't really meet the van, though.
You do meet the van.
Okay, all right.
You get. We're also handing out While They Last, K-Rock stickers, Kevin and Bean T-shirts, screening passes to the new Disney film A Wrinkle in Time, and more. So the shop's at Montebello for the next hour or so, I think, 45 minutes, something like that. Montebello Town Center in Montebello. If you want to go by and meet the Kevin and Bean van, you can. All right, Friday morning, 7:55. Allie, what's happening?
Well, what's happening is our Spotify playlist.
Ooh,
it's true. Yeah, every week we update songs on the Kevin and Bean That's My Jam Spotify playlist. We are going to tweet out the link because for some reason it's very hard for people to find. I don't know why.
Because everything we do is janky.
I'm just saying. But every week we add a song to the playlist that we like because a lot of people listen to K-Rock and think we're choosing these songs. We're not. We've got a music director that does it, and we have a wide range of tastes.
Occasionally we'll change songs, just stuff we like.
Occasionally, yes. But we all like very different music, so we wanted to put some of the things that we have either been enjoying for a long time or new releases that maybe some people hadn't heard of. So every week we update the playlist, and this week we have a bunch of new ones. Kevin, what's yours?
Mine is one that I've been enjoying for quite some time. Mm-hmm. It came out in January of last year from Royal Blood. Two guys, and they jam. I could have picked any song from them, but Lights Out is the one that I picked for this week. Good.
Yeah, that's some bone-in music.
And we've been lucky enough to have them on Acoustic Christmas, which you may have mentioned. I wasn't listening. And they are just, you can't believe how much noise they make for two guys.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
They are unreal. Next up, Bean.
My selection this week is very compatible with Kevin's because it is also in the hard rock vein, blues rock vein. The remarkable thing about these young men, there are four of them. They work out of Michigan. They are three brothers and a friend. Their ages are 21, 21, 18, and 18. But for some reason, they sound like this. The band is called Greta Van Fleet. a lot of people have said that 21-year-old lead singer Josh sounds a lot like Robert Plant, and he really does in a lot of places on their album. Again, the band is called Greta Van Fleet. That's my choice on the That's My Jam playlist.
I think we've had the discussion that if I can go back in time to any time, it would be to ride on the back of the horse with Robert Plant. The song remains the same. I might change it. I might change it to be young again and hang out with Greta Van Fleet.
All right.
All right. Mike, you're next.
I'm keeping the hard rock, kind of fuzzy, old school rock theme alive. The Shrine are Venice locals, and they're the crustiest bros ever. I think they have beards made of actual nugs of dank. They're and they smell. But
they live in a van?
Yeah. I think they I mean, you would not know if they were a homeless Venice boardwalk guy or like a band. But they, man, they really rip. And it's a throwback to kind of fuzzy, psychedelic stoner rock. This is called I Can't Control It.
That's pretty strong.
Yeah.
Well, now for something completely different. My pick. This is off her upcoming third studio album that's set for release late April called Dirty Computer. It's Janelle Monáe, who a lot of people think is the rightful heir to the Prince sound. And when you hear this song, she released two songs on the same day. One was called Django Jane, and the other one, Holy Crap.
It's called Holy Crap.
No, it's called Make Me Feel, and I have not stopped listening.
Bless me up, yeah, but no one does it better. There's nothing better. That's just the way you make me feel. That's just the way you make me feel. So it's so good, so f***ing real.
And that's Sheila E. from 1986?
That is Janelle Monáe from Right Now. And she was actually working with Prince on the album before he passed away. So you're going to hear a lot of influence. But that song, it gets you from the beginning. And if you are not shaking your butt to that song, something is wrong with you. And
also,
get yourself checked.
Also, there needs to be more in songs.
I have said that for years, Kevin. My favorite part of loving that song is I sent it in to Dave, who updates our Spotify playlist. Mm-hmm. And then Kevin heard the song, and he's like, that's going to be my That's My Jam song. I'm like, too late. He's like, nope, I'm emailing now. And I let him email it because I knew I already had. Yes, I won. Kevin wanted it as
congrats.
His.
She called dibs, bro.
She did.
I called dibs on Janelle Monáe. That is our Spotify playlist. It is up at our Kevin and Bean Twitter account, at Kevin and Bean, if you want to just join right now. And you're going to have updated songs every single week. Have fun. Some birthdays for you. Rebel Wilson, John Bon Jovi, Chris Martin, Daniel Craig, Method Man, Bryce Dallas Howard, and that's what's happening.
Comedian Doug Benson joins us in a few minutes. Going to give away some more tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. Don't forget, tickets for that go on sale in just under 2 hours at 10 a.m. this morning. And you can just go to AXS.com.
How you feeling? You okay?
Yeah.
You good?
Yeah. Didn't sound like it, I know, but yeah.
No,
it
felt like you were struggling.
Yeah,
I just wondered.
All right. I'm good.
Hey, here's the question. I've always heard about people failing up in business, but after Jimmy Kimmel destroyed the Oscars last night by reading that card wrong. How do they invite him back? How do they give him another shot at it after the poor performance he did at the end of the show last year? It just seems like that's not the type of thing that should be rewarded. So maybe I just don't understand anything anymore. But Jimmy returns as the host of the Academy Awards this Sunday night on ABC. The broadcast begins at 5. Hey, James, how are you, sir?
I think you're confusing me with Steve Harvey again.
Oh, sorry. Very common. Very common. Jimmy, I'm sure you love how much interest there is in the Academy Awards this year, but you have to be so sick about talking about something that happened so long ago that had, frankly, nothing to do with you.
It's funny. I'm less sick of talking about that than I am of being asked what the balance I'm going to strike on the show is.
Oh, sure.
It's like, I don't know. Who knows? I've never been good at striking balances. So if I do, it will be an accident.
I mean, I guess that's one of the hard things about this job and why so few people in history have done it to rave reviews is because everybody kind of goes into it pinning on you what they want out of the broadcast, right?
Absolutely. And not just the media, you know, all sorts of people from various walks of my life. So, you know, all I can do is try to be funny, and that's what I'll try to do. And,
well, that's what you're good at.
I'll handle this with my usual amount of class.
Oh, no. No, you should step it up a little.
I saw a couple of very interesting quotes from your lovely wife this week, and I'm sure you've heard a lot about the reaction to the Washington Post piece about the amazing pancakes you make for your family in the morning. But she also said that you have been on a starvation diet getting in Oscar-hosting shape. But I can't imagine that's true because you run pretty trim, I think, Jim.
It's really not true. I think that day that she wrote that, I may have been not eating. But, no, I've been eating like a absolute pig. Just really, like worse than usual. So because I'm hoping I have a fitting this morning for the tux that probably would have fit 2 months ago and might not today.
Oh, they're going to have to let that out.
Yeah.
Do you get nervous anymore, Jimmy?
I do. I get nervous leading up, but then when I'm doing the show, I'm not nervous. And when I'm usually like right before, like last year, right before the show, I thought I'd be nervous, and I was kind of strolling around backstage, and I realized like, oh, I'm not nervous at all. I don't know why I'm not nervous, but
did that worry you? Did you think I should be nervous?
No, it didn't. I always think I shouldn't be nervous because there's no point to being nervous. It's really just wasted energy. But I wasn't nervous. Maybe I'll be nervous. I don't know. Maybe I just hit a moment where I didn't feel I just feel like I was prepared and it was going to go as it would go.
Well, them asking you so soon to be a repeat host, was that almost bad? You've now had a whole year to kind of slag off not doing much. Right?
You know, it's funny. It doesn't really help when you have more time.
Yeah.
I thought it would, and I was really upset that they waited so long last time. I was like, why would they wait this long? I could have been working on this stuff. And there are a few things you can get out of the way earlier in the year, like the pictures you have to take and, you know, that sort of thing. But ultimately, I wind up just procrastinating.
Yeah, you had that energy last year because you were up against the clock. You had to get it done. Now you've just been hanging out, doing your show.
Like terror.
I mean, I guess you are also at the point, Jimmy. I mean, I don't know if you've ever done the math, but you've done hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours of live television, right? I mean, live-to-tape television. So, I mean, you're a guy who is well-suited for this job because you put the preparation in and you think fast on your feet. So there's very little that's going to happen that's going to be able to throw you, I think.
Good. Thank you. Write that on a card so I can look at it right before the show.
Well, here's the way I look at it is that after what happened last year, it's going to go perfect for you. There's no way anything could be wrong.
Did I ever tell you guys what happened during rehearsal last year on the day of the Oscars?
Oh, I don't think so. Because I think we talked to you a couple days before. No.
It's funny because this is so much bigger a deal than the envelope was. But the envelope happened during the broadcast. We had these huge sets, and when I say huge, I mean like 30 feet tall pieces of wood that came just crashing down in the middle of rehearsal.
Oh, you're kidding.
And luckily it happened to be a moment where the crew was on break, but there's no question that at least four people would have been crushed by these things.
Oh, my God.
Anyone
had
been on that stage. I mean, it was a thunderous sound, and of course nobody had it on tape. It was crazy. It was like no cameras were rolling at all in the theater at that time, and so nobody got it. But that was what we thought we were, you know, that was the curveball we thought we were able to hit, you know. And then of course, you know, envelope gate or whatever they want to call it happened.
what brought the set piece down, Jimmy?
I actually chopped it down.
You did? Wow.
Well, this is the other thing I haven't reviewed.
All right, let me ask you one more thing. And again, this is probably completely out of your hands. You don't control this. But how do we improve the speech from the winners? How can we figure out a way to not have it be a super boring long list of people we've never heard of, Jimmy?
Can I tell you something? I actually have a plan for that that I cannot reveal.
Is that right?
For real?
I had that very thought. I posed myself that very question, and I think we figured it out.
We're going Gong Show,
that's
right?
That's amazing.
Yeah, I do. I think I figured
you
it out.
You think you figured this out after this is the 90th one?
Yep. Finally, from here on out, all award shows will adopt this simple policy.
I love it.
I hope it involves a set piece falling over on the person talking.
Right, or Jimmy with a hook.
I like it.
Oh, hey, how about your billboard? This is very exciting.
Oh, thank you for noticing, Jimmy.
I mean,
thank you for noticing. I mean, it's not up yet. It's not up yet, but it will be soon. We are going to have one, so that's an improvement. I don't think we've had a billboard since you worked here.
We didn't even have a billboard then. If you remember, we begged for a billboard. Yeah. It really was humiliating.
It is humiliating.
Yeah, it's still the same, Jim.
And then you remember what we did get was they had empty space on the side of the buses, and the company that owned the radio station owned those signs
right.
on the buses.
Is that when we did the suntan lotion?
Yes.
Picture?
We did the Copper Tone parody ads, but I don't know if you remember, I was really pushing for and unrelentingly fighting for a sign that said public transportation is for losers.
I sure do. I sure do. Yeah. And it just they didn't go for it.
I thought it would be funny to see the bus going by with
What's
that.
Wrong with you?
Jimmy has good ideas, you guys. I had almost put it out of my mind how insulted I was that we still don't have a billboard after all this time, and then Jimmy just ripped the scab right off, and now I've been peeing all over again.
What's funny is that I have some billboards up now with the, Oscars, because the Oscars put the billboards up, but every year at the Emmys, if you ever will just notice, there's a billboard, there are many billboards for every talk show except ours. Every one of them.
Is that right?
The town is littered with billboards for every talk show. There are hosts of shows you didn't even know were on that have billboards, and then we don't. So I really feel like maybe this is what bonded us more than anything. It's the spirit of a loser.
I think you're right. Well said, Jim. Well said. The 90th Annual Academy Awards air live this Sunday, March 5th at ABC, ABC.com, or the ABC app. And, of course, Jimmy can be found weeknights at 11:35 on ABC as well. Have a great time Sunday night. We can't wait to watch, Jimmy. And thanks so much for carving out some time for us today.
Thanks, gang. Take care.
Bye-bye. Thank you. The last time I saw our friend Doug Benson, I was driving away from the Hollywood Casino back in December. We were broadcasting live from out there, remember? Christmas weekend. And you guys were at the tables, man, and you guys were going for it. It looked like there was money changing hands.
We're playing some blackjack.
Yeah, I think, Kevin, won some money.
I won some money, yeah.
$100 or something?
Yeah. Remember when we were making fun of the guy next to us?
I was worried you'd bring this up because the last thing I want anybody to be mad at me for is being mean to a veteran who served our country.
But we didn't know that.
But the guy was weird.
We didn't know that. there's nothing that would have told us that was the case. So I just asked, is he drunk or what do you think? And then later he said, oh, yeah, you know, I served and I've got this problem. And we were both just felt so bad.
Yeah, yeah.
He was such terrible with you too.
Well, we didn't know.
He was mentally ill because he was served our country, and we were making fun of him.
But
we
were making it was veterans.
It was really low grade. It was low key making fun of. It was just between us,
right?
Yeah. Until now,
we were just sort of trying to figure out what was going on. That's all.
Yeah.
But
and he knew who I was, sort of. He was kind of familiar with me, and I think that's probably a weed thing. I bet you he manages a lot of his pain with marijuana,
and he deserves to,
right? Now, listen, I don't have a lot of time, you guys, because I have to go meet a van.
Right? He's been saying that all week.
The van is the star of the piece. As far as I'm concerned, you meet the van.
Yeah, you go down, you hang out with the van, you get to know the van.
You don't meet the van, though, Bean.
You fall in love with the van, and thank you for bringing it up, Doug.
You take a vansie.
It is in location right now at the Shops at Montebello in front of the H&M store. This is the Kevin and Bean van. This is the janky van that Kevin spray-painted all over.
Get over there. It's about to be towed.
It's
parked illegally.
It's in Montebello at the Montebello Town Center with K-Rock stickers, Kevin and Bean t-shirts, screening passes to A Wrinkle in Time, and more. Thank you. Have you seen any pictures of the van, Doug? Kevin did a masterful job.
I want to see it now.
I mean, it's beautiful.
Yeah. There's a few other vehicles out there in the parking lot you could do a number on.
Sure. Here's our little Leonardo da Vinci.
Don't tempt me.
I had a question for you, Doug.
Okay.
And you're very...
As long as I'm here.
You're very kind to be here, by the way, because I know we're going to be seeing you at the end of the month for Foolishness, and we're going to give away some tickets to Foolishness and talk about it in a few minutes. But I wanted to ask, because I have been very much enjoying your Doug Loves Movies. I've been catching up on some episodes because you and I are going to be doing it together on Tuesday night.
That's right.
What? I'm a guest on Doug Loves Movie on Tuesday night.
Are you going to his house?
As close to it as I need to be to get him on my show.
You are right down the street from me, and I'm honored and thrilled, and I can't wait to do it. But I was listening to an episode you taped recently in Denver.
Uh-huh.
You are a superstar in Denver. It's like listening to the Beatles at Hollywood Bowl with how much they adore Doug Benson. And I was wondering, is it because you played there more than any other place in the country for so many years because they were the first with the legal weed?
Well, they've always been great. Even before it was legal there, it was a pretty open-minded place where I felt like I could get away with stuff. Being a being a white man, so I've always had a great time there. And that particular club is they're doing it right. Like, they have super low ceilings and they pack everybody in. Like, they don't have tables for people to eat. They have it's almost like school desk things with like a little tray area you could put your nuggets or whatever you're eating on.
I guess you don't think about that. Yeah. Unless you're a comedian, but the room setup probably makes a huge difference.
It's a big deal. And then when you're recording a show that, it's a basement club, so that low ceiling is super helpful. And then this club adopted the thing that, Dave Chappelle does everywhere he goes, but this is at the club. They don't let anyone have – you don't have access to your phone in the showroom.
Is that right?
Yeah.
When
you walk in the door, they put it in a bag and they lock it.
Yeah.
And so, if you feel it vibrate, you can go out to the lobby and say, hey, I need to – answer my phone.
I've had that happen, and it's a weird thing that you have your phone, but it's in a bag and you can't access it.
Yeah. So I wouldn't put myself through it. To be honest with you,
right?
I can't think of a performance I'd want to see badly enough that I couldn't. And I'm not a person who sits there and tries to film the show or anything like that. I'm just used to being able to.
Of course.
You want to know what time it is every 2 minutes when you
right.
when your phone is your timepiece,
But as a performer, though, do you love it that that's the policy in that club?
It's fantastic because you're not going to look out and see someone just, staring at their phone or, mm-hmm. Anyone attempting to, talk on their phone or do anything with their phone.
Do people talk on their phone while you're doing comedy?
It can get like that. I mean, I think phone etiquette's gotten better with the millennials. It feels like the younger people kind of know that, A, they want to be on it all the time, and then B, that they shouldn't do it during shows.
Right, be smart about it.
Yeah, but, at concerts these days, I feel bad for any band that does anything anything bad or wrong happens on stage.
Yeah,
somebody's going to film it.
Sure.
And that was the amazing thing about Jimmy Kimmel's story. That is wild that there's no footage of those walls
Isn't
crashing down at the Oscars.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a news story.
Are we sure it happened?
Yeah, I think he's making it up. I think
he was stunned that he did make a point.
Up with a bigger disaster than naming the wrong Best Picture.
He did make a point a couple times saying, there's no video. No one even knew this happened. We get it, Jimmy.
Yeah, there's no video of a lot of great things that have happened to me.
Hey, Doug, as a guy who's into movies more than anyone I know, do you have a movie that you are rooting hard for to win the Best Picture this weekend?
No.
Are you a Three Billboards guy?
I'm not a racist.
Shape of Water?
I had sex with a fish once, and it's overrated.
More details, please.
I just got a dumb reason for disliking each movie. No,
Or do you not care? Though you're a movie fan, do you not care who
I do
the
care, because, but I feel like the 9 movies they nominated are all excellent films. Like, 3 of them bored the crap out of me.
Okay.
But they're well-made and great for whatever audience it was intended
so
for.
So if any of them win, you're fine. You're not
pretty much,
for one?
Yeah. Okay. I'm pretty much okay with all of them, but also I feel like it's down between Shape of Water and Get Out could be a surprise win just because feels like it's in the air. But
sure.
That would be like maybe the only second or third time in the history of the Oscars that a movie won Best Picture without.
being nominated for a bunch of technical awards. You know, Get Out is only nominated for Best Picture and Best Actor. Mm-hmm. And so it's rare for a movie to, you know.
Interesting.
Because if you get in lots of the tech categories, then you're bringing everybody in, you know.
Into the voting.
Everybody's got their expertise, and they all go for the same thing. That's why I think Shape of Water is going to have, like, a mini sweep.
And people adore Guillermo del Toro, too.
Yeah, he's going to win Best Director, I think, for sure. And then probably Shape of Water for Best Picture, but could be Billboards, could be Get Out.
Where do you watch the Oscars? Do you have a routine?
For a few years, I did a thing over at a theater here in town that is recently closed, but we would just take over the theater every year, and me and some comedians and actors would sit with microphones in the front row of the theater, and then we just watch the telecast and just make jokes the whole time with
a couple
of
TV
with an audience there.
Did it close because of that?
Yeah, that's what shut it down is the motion picture.
The Mystery Science Theater
Association,
the Oscars.
Shut it down.
Awesome.
That's fun.
Yeah, I've done that to that big sports game. That's what we have to call it when you're
sure.
using
yep.
the NFL's material.
Right.
Yeah. And I've done it for the Emmys as well. Like,
is that right?
They're all pretty fun. I think the only one that wouldn't be fun to do is the Grammys, because you know, the musical performances, there's only so much you could say after.
Yeah,
you know,
true. Yeah, too much. All right, we got to take a break. Doug Benson is here, comedian, podcaster. By the way, Doug loves movies. He and I are going to be doing it on a Tuesday night, and that episode will be up the following day that you're taping here in New Orleans. But you're going to be back in Southern California at the UCB Franklin Theater on March 27th if people want to go see it live and in person, and they should. Kevin, we're going to give away some tickets right now to Foolishness?
We are. I'm not going to tell people how, but we're going to give away Foolishness tickets. So call now, 1-800-520-1067. It's Doug Benson.
It's a game.
So you can pretty much guess what it's going to involve.
Oh.
But call now, and we'll play the game, and we'll give away some tickets.
Candy.
No.
It's hard for me to believe how fast time goes, but we are already at the 10th annual Kevin and Bean April Foolishness Show. Doug, how many have you done? You're on the bill
this will
this
be
year.
My third time out.
Third time. God bless
show.
You, sir. That's
yeah.
three nights of employment you've given up for us and for our charity.
Oh, yeah. Probably a couple $100 have gone down the drain.
Well, we're excited to have Doug back on the bill. It's always a pleasure. Also, our returning friend Gabriel Iglesias is playing this year, and Brad Williams. But listen to the new one. Listen to the first-timers this year. Adam Devine, Brian Callen, Jeff Garlin, Sarah Tiana. Hell of a lineup, right, Doug?
Oh, yeah. I know all those people, and it's going to be super fun.
It's going to be great. Tickets go on sale at 10 o'clock this morning at AXS.com. Proceeds going to the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund and also Cedars-Sinai NICU. We want to give away another pair of tickets before they go on sale right now. I think we have callers on the line. What do we need to know about this game?
The game is called Hollywood Dank.
I'm Dank Dankerson. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Hollywood Dank. We're playing with celebrity guest Doug Benson. The key to the game is that he has to guess the correct strand out of three strands that are given to him of marijuana. I will read three names. Doug Benson has to guess the right one. You, the contestant, say yes or no. Did Doug Benson get it right? Are you ready to play?
Are you asking me?
That sounds very self-explanatory. Let's meet our first contestant,
Let's
shall
we? Let's start with Manny and Covina. Hi, Manny.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Welcome to Hollywood Dank. All right, Doug Benson.
Uh-huh.
Which is a real strand of weed?
Uh-huh.
The Bong Show, Flaming Dragon, or Poop Shoot Riot?
All right, now Doug answers, Manny.
Yeah, it's the second one, Flaming Dragon.
All right, now Manny, you tell us if he's right or wrong.
He is 100% right.
He is correct.
He is 100% right.
Everyone's a winner this time around.
Thanks, Doug.
Hey, no problem, dude.
Although no one's a winner yet, because we do have to do a drawing at the end from those who are correct.
With good point,
Bean. Oh, okay.
All right, let's go to Michael in Winnetka. Hi.
Hey, good morning, guys.
All right. Doug Benson, which is a real strand of weed? Asian Fantasy, Me Smoky Smoky, or Rubbin' Nug?
What was the first one?
Asian Fantasy.
That doesn't seem right, but that's what I'm going to say.
All right, Michael. Michael, is he right or wrong?
Oh, that's a tough one. I'm going to say he is wrong.
I'm sorry, Michael. He was very much correct.
They even played the correct answer, Bill. For my answer.
He played the correct one.
I sure did, yeah. There's a weed strain called Asian Fantasy, you guys.
Yeah, that doesn't... The names of weed have got... one of my favorite ones that I
scares me is there's something called green crack. And it's like, why would you drag crack into adorable little strain of marijuana?
Okay. I kind of love Tug and Nug.
Who's calling?
Thank you.
Let's go to Christina in Ontario. Hi, Christina.
Hi.
All right, here we go. Don't sound too excited. Presidential Bubba Kush, Dion Bernie Sanders, or Bro Jackson?
The first one.
Presidential Bubba Kush.
All right, Christina, is he correct?
Yes, he's right.
He sure is.
Yes, he is.
And the bell came at the right time.
Our listeners know their weed, by the way, and as does Doug.
All right, up next is Jim in Rialto. Hi, Jim.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Here we go. Red Hair Mistress, Barbara Red Eye Strand, The Danky Leg.
This is the first one again.
Red Hair Mistress.
Jim, is he right or wrong?
I'll go with the right.
He is.
Right again. Hard to imagine.
Never bet against Doug Benson on this game, by the way.
Yeah, but I've also figured out that the one that doesn't make me laugh is the correct answer.
Darn it.
All right, let's go to Nima in Burbank. Nima,
how's it going, guys?
Well, thank you.
All right, here we go. Andre 3000. Pedro Guerrero or Memphis Belle.
Memphis Belle. Also, wasn't that like a warship or something?
I think that was a movie with Harry Connick Jr., wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Matthew Modine, maybe?
Yeah. All right. Nima, is he correct?
He's correct. Yes. I want Andre 3000 to be real.
Right. 3000.
Same. Yeah, same.
Andre 3000.
All right, I think we have time for just one more. I'm sorry, Mr. Dank.
All right, let's make it Corey.
Mr. Dank. Well, I never heard what the announcer's name was.
Dankerson.
Dankerson. Yeah.
Come on, man. All right. Corey in Ventura. Hi.
Hey, good morning, car people.
Here we go. Stifler's mom, Mara want a piece of me, or cheese?
Oh, cheese.
Cheese. Is he correct, Corey?
Well, he hasn't been wrong so far, so yeah, he's right.
He sure is.
Right. Yes. Hard to believe.
That is unbelievable. All right. So, Corey, everybody was right, right? Corey and Nima and Jim and Christina and Manny. I think we only lost one contestant, so they're all in the drawing. Someone will win tickets for the 10th annual Kevin and Bean April Foolishness Concert, March 31st at the Microsoft Theater. Who's our winner, please?
Doug, can you see, Doug?
Do you want to read this?
Christina?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Christina. Congratulations, Christina. You won the tickets.
Yay.
Congratulations.
Now I'm excited.
Right.
We can tell.
She wasn't excited before, but now, because she's going. Congratulations. I'm going to put you on hold. We'll give you all the details, all right?
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Christina.
Thank you, Mr. Dankerson.
No problem.
So, I'm a little worried she's not going to be a good laugher. We need to give tickets away to people that are going to make some noise.
That's a good point.
Get some more enthusiastic people.
Honestly, you should have brought that up about 10 minutes ago.
I'm going to be like, it's going to be bugging me the entire set when I'm out there. Where is that? Where's Christina? I know she's not laughing right now.
Doug, it goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. You're one of our all-time favorites. We love you. Thank you so much for agreeing to do the show this year.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Can't wait to see you.
That's the first thing when I knew that you were putting the tickets on sales. When can I come in and talk it up? Because I want this one to sell out faster than it's ever sold out.
It's the 10th annual. It's hard to imagine.
I'm not going to show up if it doesn't sell out fast.
All right. We'll see you soon, my friend.
Thanks.
I know this is going to be shocking that I'm about to say this about a professional comedian, but that Doug Benson, pretty funny, you guys.
Funny dude?
Pretty funny guy.
Yeah. And a good guy as well.
Real good guy. Hey, it's Friday and almost 9 a.m. That means it's time to have you text us what song you'd like to hear to get the weekend started. It's time for Kevin and Bean's Keep It 100. Listen to some of the outstanding choices you made in the past. If K-Rock ever played it and you want to hear it, if we have it, we'll play it for you now. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to text us. Texter 100, you get to pick the song. That's coming up just after 9 on K-Rock. Allie McKay, what's happening?
A whole lot is happening, you guys. First of all, Weird Al has a new song? Yeah, Bean, you know it's true because you sent it to me.
Stop making that. What's that noise?
Just me being excited.
Stop doing that.
It's Friday, you guys.
No, see, okay.
Friday.
Skip it. We're not doing the story now.
And Weird Al has a new song.
Moving on to Dr. Pimple Popper.
No, do the Weird Al song.
Say Friday.
Friday.
All right.
Well done, Bean. This is a new song that's part of something that Lin-Manuel Miranda is doing called the hashtag #HamilDrops Project. Bean, why don't you tell us about it? Because you know.
Lin-Manuel Miranda came up with this idea that every month this year, he was going to release a new Hamilton-related song. Mm-hmm. So the first one was the Decemberists doing a Hamilton outtake song called Ben Franklin Song. And then that was in December, actually. And then in January, Nas did a version of one of the big hits from the Hamilton soundtrack called Wrote My Way Out. And this is the third in the series. And you know, Lin-Manuel Miranda and Al are close friends.
Sure.
So it makes sense how this came together, but Al has a tradition on many of his albums of doing polka medleys. So he did a polka medley of songs from the Hamilton musical, and I think you'll enjoy it.
We're outgunned, what? Outmanned, what? Outnumbered, outplanned. We gotta make an all-out stand, and yo, I'm gonna need a right-hand man. Hey! Hamilton, sir, he knows what to do with a trench, ingenuitive, influence, and French. I mean, Hamilton, sir, you're gonna have to use him eventually. What's he gonna do on the bench? I mean, Hamilton, no one has more resilience or matches my practical tactical brilliance. Hamilton, you wanna fight for your land back? Hamilton, I need my right-hand man back. Hamilton, I'll get your right-hand man back. Hamilton, you know you gotta get your right-hand man back. Hamilton, I mean, you gotta put some thought into the letter, but the sooner the better to get your right-hand man back. It must.
So all right, I'm not going to lie. That is damn good.
Whole musical in 5 minutes is basically what it is.
That's unreal.
That's really good.
All right, Bean, I support you on this.
You'll allow us? Is that it's Friday?
Nope.
No! Why do you ruin everything?
Why do you ruin everything?
I've been asked that question many times.
Lord. I don't want to have a spoiler alert for those of you that did not watch last Sunday's Walking Dead. I don't know how you avoided knowing this.
But Carl died.
Carl died. And if you read the graphic novel, you knew it was coming. Anyway, but apparently it's really affecting a lot of people.
Yeah.
There was a poll done that asked fans whether they're going to miss him on the series. And Kevin, this might surprise you. A whopping 53% voted that they miss him already. On the other hand, Kevin's 34% also said they're glad he's gone.
Look, I've been saying that he needs to die the entire series.
Yes, before the series even came, before there was even a comic book. He's like, right. I hate some kid named Carl and I don't know why.
Having said that, that episode was so well done.
Moving,
and was
right?
So emotionally moving.
Yeah.
I wanted him to live.
What?
I did.
Are you serious?
He was so great in that episode. I was like, okay, he can live. And then he didn't.
We'll have Mr. Kirkman back in on Monday morning's Kevin Bean Show. We can have lots of Carl conversation.
What if you find out this Sunday, dream sequence, and Carl's alive? What if, Kevin?
I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. Because he was really great in that last episode.
This is Carl love that I don't think any of us saw coming.
I was surprised by how emotionally they told the story from Michonne and from Rick. And being a parent.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really moving.
Right.
I love Carl.
What?
What's happening? Are we living in the upside down world now?
No, it is Friday. I don't even know what's happening. All right, let me take you all back to Earth. TLC had a special that aired in January called Dr. Pimple Popper, This Is Zit, which... Honestly, I support the name.
Well, that was a miscalculation.
No, I support the name. It's pretty good. And it's Dr. Sandra Lee. We had her on the show. She's the one that pops pimples, takes all the pus out of cysts. It is disgusting and gross, and people are obsessed with watching her videos, and people love her. It's bizarre to me.
Nope.
Well, guess what? That premiere performed so well that now we get to, quote, watch Lee poke, prod, and squeeze her way through a one-hour episode every single week. Coming this summer, you guys.
Nope.
Dr. Pimple Popper on your television.
Not on mine.
Just in case you were watching it on your phone or on your laptop, now you get it on your wall. Just pus coming at you. I don't know how I feel about this, you guys.
Yeah, I think you do.
I feel awful about it. But I will tell you this. People find it satisfying. Some people say they find it relaxing. Some people say, okay, you see the whole process. You know there's an end coming, so they see it through. There's this weird situation with people that watch this.
I'm happy that they have something they like. It's just not for me.
My friend, Michelle Beadle,
mm-hmm.
obsessed with these.
With the pimple popping videos.
Loves
really.
Them.
Oh,
and we've had an intervention. We staged something. Five of us were like, Michelle, we need to talk. This isn't normal.
And she fought you off?
No, she's like, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
My whole thing is that I am not grossed out by it at all by you guys. I'm just not that interested in seeing somebody else get a medical procedure. Just it's not that interesting to me.
I will say there was one that was this like back cyst that I thought no more can come out.
Come on.
And it did over and over and over again. It was fascinating. But that was it. That's where I drew the line. It has to be like something like that.
Clown-like. Like
yes.
a clown car.
Yes. Which is weird because two clowns came out of that back cyst. It was bizarre. It's just weird. Some birthdays for you. Actress Rebel Wilson. Singer Jon Bon Jovi. Coldplay singer. We love them so much. Chris Martin. Actor Daniel Craig. Actress Bryce Dallas Howard. And rapper M-E-T-H-O-D.
Man.
And that's what's happening. Sometimes.
Keep it 100.
And that was your Keep It 100 song. Thanks for requesting that.
Not yet. Nope.
Sarah from Northridge.
Every Friday about this time, we invite you to text in the K-Rock song you want to hear. Let me tell you what was close, and then we'll meet the person who selected today's number. And Ron was number 99 with The Living End by Prisoner of Society. Actually, it's the other way around. Prisoner of Society by The Living End. Australia. You remember
good.
That song?
Yeah.
That's a good choice. Yeah.
Agree.
And then we had, hang on, we have so much on the screen here. And then somebody requested Goldfinger doing 99 Red Balloons. Remember their cover version of that song?
Yeah. Yes.
Out of the 626, that was Mark. I'm sorry, Mark, you were number 101. But let's find out who today will keep it 100.
All right. It is.
That's where you hit the thing.
That's where you
hit
it. I got to keep it 100.
Keep it 100, baby.
Keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
I'm gonna keep it 100.
100.
Keep it 100.
Should we go to Brian in Minneapolis?
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Popo Zhao, guys. What's up?
Popo Zhao, indeed. You're in Minnesota.
Yes, I am.
How? I hate to ask this in March, but how cold is it where you are right now?
I want to say today it's mid 30s probably. We're finally melting out from a bunch of snow.
Okay. How was it having the Super Bowl there?
I actually work about four blocks from the stadium.
Uh-huh.
It kind of sucked for me because it took up all the parking garages for that week. I had to use public
public transit.
Gross.
Right?
Gross indeed.
Now, are you streaming the show, Brian?
Actually, I'm a podcast listener, so I'm not even listening live right now. I'll probably hear this in a couple of days.
So you'll hear yourself in like 3 days.
Yeah, I just call in every Friday or text in every Friday at the right time, hoping to be the guy. So.
Wow. That's how many weeks have you attempted to be Texture 100?
Yeah, probably at least 10, I'd say.
And same song every week?
Same song every week.
But you know we can't put the music on the podcast, so you won't hear the song that you have been so feverishly texting us about.
This is just for everybody else. This is for California.
Brian. It's a giver.
What a
he
delight.
Really is.
How about that?
Okay. All right. What have you selected for us to get into the weekend here?
Well, considering what's going on with North Korea and Russia right now, I think a perfect song will be Party at Ground Zero by Fishbone.
You got it. Thank you.
Keep it 100.
Party at Ground Zero. Every move is starring you. And the world will turn to flowing pink paper stools.
Johnny!
That's a great choice right there.
Yes.
Right?
That's a great choice.
Allie, were you skanking? Is that what I just saw? Were you skanking?
Dude, I lost my mind when he requested Fishbone. Yeah. No one could see it, but that is, they're one of my all-time favorites.
You were bouncing off the walls.
Yeah.
Brian in Minneapolis will hear this on the podcast later. Thank you, Brian. Excellent choice. That song came out in what year, Allie McKay?
Oh, gosh. 89?
85.
Oh, no way.
1985. And
wow.
Here's your fun fact. The director of the Fishbone Party at Ground Zero video was Henry Selick, who went on to direct The Nightmare Before Christmas. Huh. How about that?
That was Beans.
Fun fact.
Give you a chance to pick the music next Friday as we, once again, keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
You okay, Chip? You all right?
No.
I can never look her in the eye again. Next time I see her, I just have to avoid her, pretend I don't know her.
Well, there are ways not to look her in the eye.
Hey, Allie.
Yep.
It's Friday.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Is it weird that after that segment ended, I actually said, I'm a little offended that it wasn't me. A little offended.
So you desperately didn't want it to be.
No way.
But offended that it wasn't.
Yes.
Okay. I think that's okay.
Female mind works in mysterious ways, fellas.
It's like you work at the White House and you don't get subpoenaed. You're like, hey, I'm doing stuff here too.
Right? I'm a grifter.
Right.
Yes, I understand. So in an interview with Rolling Stone, Black Panther star Chadwick Boseman revealed that he previously attended an acting class that was hosted by the actress Felicia Rashad. And she encouraged him to apply for the Oxford University summer program. And Chadwick's like, I think you understand I don't have deep pockets. I cannot just fly over to England and take this class. And he said that Rashad essentially got some celebrity friends to pay for him and some other classmates to go.
Is that right?
So he was on Jimmy Fallon this week, and he finally revealed the identity of the mystery benefactor, someone we all know, someone that paid for Chadwick Boseman to essentially take an amazing acting class that might have led him to get this role in Black Panther.
No! Kelly Clarkson!
It was not Kelly Clarkson.
Let's hear it for O.J. Jackson Jr.
It is not our Friday.
Count Smokey Love.
No, but he is a giver.
Sister Sledge.
Sister Sledge was not the benefactor.
Pam Anderson?
Not Pam Anderson.
Hugo Weaving.
Not Hugo Weaving.
Lady Gaga!
No, but I bet she would. Bet
Dr.
She would.
Drew Pitsky.
No, but he is a giver as
Flavor
well.
Flavor Flav!
No, you guys haven't even really been close.
Oh.
Well, hello, everybody. I'm Huell Howser.
It is Huell Howser. Is that an acting class? Be real. Not be real.
Okay. Why don't you tell us before we run out of time?
I'm going to go ahead and tell you. It is
the Louisiana Creeper.
But okay. It is Denzel Washington.
All right.
That's awesome, right?
Yeah, that's so pretty cool. Know each other or anything. He just said, I'll write a check for that young man.
Didn't. So, of course, Chadwick invited him to New York for the premiere of Black Panther, where he thanked him in person. And upon finally meeting, Denzel just had the best line. He said, oh, that's why I'm here. You owe me money. I think it's just amazing. So that's really nice. Just paying it forward for other young up-and-comers to get out there. That is.
And then
lovely.
Denzel added,
I'm drunk now.
He did not. He did not say that. Yeah, if you're going to give your friend a baby shower gift, just know it'll never be as cool as what Oprah Winfrey did for her friend Mindy Kaling.
I assume that none of us could give gifts as well as Oprah.
But even for Oprah standards, this is pretty amazing. It's not like it cost tons of money.
Oh, okay.
But it's just how amazing it was. She gave Mindy's newborn daughter, Catherine, a hand-carved bookcase filled with 100 classic children's stories. And each one had inscripted Catherine's book club. That's so special.
That's pretty cool.
That is so lovely. Damn it, Oprah. You're wonderful at everything.
Damn you for being so good.
Damn you for being lovely. I mean, but really, Catherine, readings for suckers. Sell that bad boy when you get old enough, right? Be like, right. Oprah bought me this. Yeah, it's just good stuff. Hey, you guys, it is Friday, so that is when the lovely Kat Corbett steps in.
Hey, Kat.
And tells us cool things that happen over the weekend or the course of next week that we might not know about because we're just so busy.
Now, I assume everything's been canceled because it's raining out, right? I assume there's no events happening.
Probably, yes. L.A., worst drivers ever. Yeah, you know what? I found out. So, you know, L.A. does all these cool things, and they've been these comedians have been getting wasted and performing Labyrinth the movie as a stage play.
What?
Do y'all know Labyrinth?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Remember that?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Bowie is the Goblin King, Jennifer Connelly.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That sounds awesome.
They sold out one of the shows. They're taking place at the Nerdist Showroom, which is at Meltdown Comics on Sunset. But I bring it up because they have added an April 8th date. But I would get on those tickets now is why I'm mentioning it, because they go quite quickly. The show they have that's in March is already done. Drunk comedians doing Labyrinth.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, I'm in. I'm in for that.
Probably makes the Goblin King a whole different kind of...
I would think so.
More like the Goblin King.
All right, fine. What? This next thing
I don't know.
This next thing I brought up, Dave King of Mexico walks in the studio next door and he's like, the guys hate you for bringing up leotards for dogs. And I was like, did you see them? So I opened the website, and his first words are, oh, I need to get one for Rhonda.
Yeah,
it's really cute.
Now, I've seen
but it
the words.
A purpose.
I've seen the words leotards for dogs around, but I don't understand the concept behind it. Why do dogs need leotards? I suspect they don't.
I think that's like for us humans, but really, it actually has two benefits. This one company specifically, they got a big post, so I thought I would talk about them. It's the Shed Defender. So if you have a dog that's like crazy shedding, you know, which I'm kind of against. It's a dog. It should shed, you know. People go crazy, so they want to cover their dog up, and then they can take it off and...
Yeah. Oh, I know.
What?
We
see what you're doing, Kat.
Yeah, remember when we came in on Monday morning and there was dog hair everywhere?
We see what you're doing.
Yeah.
I think you are looking in the wrong direction.
I think you just pointed us at you.
Aside from that... The big thing is anxiety. So, you know, like they have the Thunder Jacket.
Yeah.
They have the, these are full body suits. The dogs look like they're going bobsledding.
And surprisingly slimming, too. They look great.
But the whole thing is they have pictures of from Chihuahuas to like St. Bernards.
Oh, that's just mean.
Like straight, the St. Bernard all of a sudden looks
like he's wearing Spanx.
Like a wiener dog.
Oh, man. Those dogs must hate it.
So the Shed Defender company, they're so popular. They are sold out of most sizes right now, but they're getting another shipment in a week. So this is your fair warning, people.
This is what we're doing with Kat's segment now.
Leotards for dogs. Oh, my segment gets better. Are you ready?
It's not possible
because
of the time.
This is actually for Allie, myself, and everybody else. You know, March Madness brackets and all that?
Yeah.
Hallmark Channel.
Uh-huh.
You with me?
I'm with you.
Okay. They have now done March Madness Christmas bracket.
Oh, my God, Kat.
No.
I totally deny that. I know it's not Christmas anymore, but it is always on the Hallmark Channel. So what they've done is 64 of their Christmas movies for us to choose from on a bracket.
I love it.
And the top prize is 10 grand.
Kat, come over tonight.
Yeah.
We're going to cocktail.
Right.
We're going to do it. We're going to win 10 grand.
Right? Like, I think anything with Steve Lund is like the top.
100.
Right?
That's so good. All right, you guys. That's what's happening.
We're good.
Wow.
I didn't realize how good we had it in the dog leotard days.
Just a reminder, tickets for April Foolishness go on sale in 10 minutes at 10 o'clock at AXS.com.
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
You can check all of our social media. We posted everywhere, but you can buy those tickets in 10 minutes. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with Strikers Commercial Free-for-All during your drive home today at 5 p.m.
That's the hour of commercials he plays, right?
That is not. No, it's no commercials. All requests at 5.
Got it.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Someone call someone.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Louie, Louie! Louie, Louie!
Roll another one.
You're in our house now.
Just like. This one seems to be about quit.
Clean up on aisle three.
And I need another hit.
How can you top the first one? I mean, it's such... It's ridiculous. I mean, I'm speechless about it. I really am.
God damn it, no! No! No!
That guy.
Represent.
This one seems to be about spend.
What?
And I don't have another cent.
Funny thing you should bring that up. That's exactly the point I was about to make.
But no more God can join.
Hi, this is Luther Vandross.
Just pass it around.
Bean, fix your goddamn life.
And no more God can join, my friend.
Anything else you need to know?
I love Venus.
All right. The way they performed was frankly disgusting.
I gotta go. You best get out of town.
Wait, are you serious? Were you saying that like that? Is this a Western?
I wanted to come up here because I felt like our goodbye, it felt a little cold to me.
In a way, looking back now, I feel like it was pretty appropriate.
Listen, 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 listen. Go, 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 go. Get out. Get out.
Where's my sauce?